In the last few days, we are discussing the two things, pamada and abhamada, as is given in the text. Now, as for the pamada, negligence, knowing that it is not suitable, it is not beneficial, you are not abstaining. Just like when you are taking food, you are not abstaining from unwholesome food. Not abstaining from what should be abstained, that is negligence, pamada. Now when you take unwholesome food, you are bound to get unwholesome results. So too, when you are failing in observing what should be observed, knowing that these unwholesome things, such as food and all, give you unwholesome results, think about unwholesome results, you are not abstaining, you are not observing what should be observed. That also is pamada. So, if one is not, one is negligent, pamada, then one will become defiled, one will lose one's honor and dignity, at the same time, one will affect, others will be affected. And if you are not observing what should be observed, then you will not get the benefit desired. Such is pamada. And the reverse of that is abhamada, abstaining from what should be abstained. Being diligent or heedful in abstaining what should be abstained. So that, for instance, if you abstain from physical, verbal, mental wrongdoing, you will not get unwholesome results, you will only get the benefits, such as abhamada. And if you observe what should be observed, that also is abhamada, diligence or heedfulness. Especially with the practice of satipatthana bhavana, what you are all doing now, it is a practice to cultivate your physical, verbal, mental behaviors in order to become pure, gentle, and peaceful and enable. Such are the immediate benefits that you can get from the practice. And this you can verify with your own personal experience. Such is abhamada. In this way we have been discussing about pamada and abhamada as has been given in the text. If we have to talk about it, then it will take about a week and you won't be able to cover this subject. Today we shall carry on about abhamada, as is given in this discourse known as Pratitya Sutta, discourse on the established. This abhamada has been given in this dictionary also as vigilance, which means wakeful, active, and if one is able to be active and wakeful all the time, then one will be able to abstain what should be abstained and observe what should be observed. Especially in the practice of satipatthana bhavana, as one is noting every arising object in the body, as the object arises and passes away very quickly, and when one has got to try to note them in time, to reach them, not to miss them, with the energetic mindfulness, not with the lax mindfulness, then one will be able to note, to catch up with the object, with his vigilance or diligence, even minute details, without any guess, without missing. And as he said, that if you are mindful, those who are mindful will be able to win over these impurities or defilements, such as the great hatred and delusion and other obsessions or obsessive defilements. Especially if one is able to cultivate the real true knowledge of objects, then one will be able to uproot the latent tendencies of defilements on a part-time basis. And if one is able to reach the path consciousness, one will be able to uproot these defilements, respective defilements, to the point of no return on a full-time basis. Hence, the saying, if one is able to use mindfulness as a weapon, one is bound to win victory over all defilements. Such is, if you are, such will happen if you are able to practice with vigilance and diligence, wakefulness and activity. In this Patitita Sutta, the discourse on the Asabir, Buddha himself has given the question and answer. He posed the question and he gave the answer for himself. What is this abhimada? Then he gave the answer that in this dispensation, monks or bhikkhus who are also yogis, they are able to wash their mind amidst the kankas and conditions that go with the kankas, or the objects that go with the kankas, or avavas in Pali. That means controlling one's mind with mindfulness. In other words, the sati, which in essence is the practice of satipatthana. These two things, asava, dhamma, and sasava, dhamma, they are not new for the practicing yogis. They must have heard about this. They are none other than the kilesas. The direct meaning, the literal meaning is kankas. That means oozing soul. As when you have a soul, blood and pus may be oozing out of it, flowing out of it, and such is known as kankas. So it's quite obvious when you see something, a visible object, or especially a desirable object, this desirable object is, with this desirable object, you are said to be oozing out in your eye sensitivity of the eye, such as kilesas. Kilesas are happening, occurring in the eye dome. And in the ear also, in the respect of pleasant sound or voice, it is said to be oozing out like the kilesas, like the pain, like the soul, the blood and pus oozing out of the soul. And with nose also, when you are smelling something desirable, a pleasant odor or smell, then it is said to be oozing in your nose. The object is oozing in your nose or oozing out of the nose, just like the blood and pus are oozing, flowing out of your soul. And with the tongue, in respect of pleasant taste, sweet taste, or something, or some sort of taste that you like, it is said to be oozing out. The kilesas, the taste, or is oozing out or into the tongue, just like blood and pus flowing out of the soul. And when you have a tangible object coming into contact with your sensitive part of the body, this object is said to be oozing into or out of your body, just like blood and pus oozing or flowing out of the soul. And with thoughts and ideas coming into your mind, though, it is like the blood and pus oozing or flowing out of the soul. So it is quite obvious. This asava dhamma, kankas, is of four kinds. In essence, when you combine them, it will be three kinds only. And as for the four kinds, the first one is known as kamasava. The second one is bhavasava. The third one is dhitisava. And the fourth one is avijasava. As for the first one, kamasava, or kama asava, in a sense it is greed, lobha, which is contained in the consciousness, eight kinds of consciousness accompanied with greed. This is a wishing or desiring to see, hear, taste, touch, or in a sense enjoying sense impressions. wishing these sense objects, desiring, wanting these sense objects, in a sense it is greed. Such is kamazava. That means canker of greed or canker of attachment. And that's for the second one, bhavasava, bhava asava. That is attachment to mundane material and immaterial absorptions and their resultants, wishing or becoming attached to them. And also, it is, in essence, it is also loba, greed. In another sense, when one's body breaks up and dies and is reborn in a new existence, one becomes attached to the previous existence, whether it's good or bad. That also is contained in bhavasava. In a sense, it is attachment or greed. And deti asava, this is the view contained in the Ditya Samyutta, the consciousness accompanied with wrong view. And viewing that, holding the view that such as there exist such things as self soul or supreme being, atta, and so on, that they are permanent, or that they are altogether impermanent. So, in a sense, it is having a view of self in respect of mind and body, which is obvious. That is the distorted view of individuality in respect of self or soul. That there is such a thing as self or soul, man, woman, being, individual, and so on, in respect of the realities of mind and body. Such is deti-asava. And avijja-asava, not knowing the Four Noble Truths as they are. In other words, it is not knowing the truth, knowing in the wrong way. The essence is greed, moha, delusion. As for the second one, the sasava, the conditions that go with the kankas, or the object of kankas or defilements. For instance, the object of kamasava, the canker of sensuality, are none other than the objects of sense desires, sensual pleasures, or sense objects, such as things which are enjoyed by seeing, hearing, tasting, touching, and so on. They are also known as kilesa vata, the objective sensualities, and these are the, such are the pasture or objects of greed. And this is known as sasava of kamasava, of sensuality. And as for the sasava of bhavasava, the second one, it is none other than the objects which are the material absorptions, immaterial absorptions, and their resultants. Or bhava nikanti, that means subtle attachment to one's existence, especially the past existence. Such are the objects of greed, as regards bhavasava, the object of the cankers of bhava. And as for the objects of dejasava, cankers of wrong views, it is the distorted view, belief in a distorted view, that is believing, wrong belief, distorted belief in the existence of self or soul, such as there is such a thing as atta, person, being, individual, I, you, and so on, in respect of the realities of mind and body, which can be experienced directly. And for the object of avijjāsava, it is none other than the Four Noble Truths itself, that is the truth of suffering, the truth of the origin, the truth of extinction, and the truth of the path. Not knowing and knowing wrongly, in spite of these Four Noble Truths. For instance, when it comes to the truth of suffering, dukkha-saccha, one does not know that it is the truth of suffering as dukkha-saccha. And not only that, one thing is it is the truth of pleasure, you know, thinking in opposite sense. That is two kinds of ignorance, not knowing the truth, knowing in the wrong way. And as regards the second truth, that is the truth of the origin, samudaya-saccha, not knowing that it is the truth of the origin of suffering, not only that, one thinks that it is the truth of the origin of pleasure, taking it in the opposite way. And as regards the third truth, namely truth of extinction, nirodha-saccha, one is viewing it in two ways, that is not knowing the truth as the truth of extinction, but knowing in the wrong way that this is the truth of extinction is none other than Nibbana, and thinking that this is not the truth of extinction, that is the first step, and the second step is that Nibbana, thinking Nibbana as nothingness, emptiness. So that since there is no such thing as minor body, what's the use of it? That sort of thing. And viewing it in this way, taking a wrong view in respect of the third truth, namely the truth of extinction, Nibbana. And as regards the fourth truth, the truth of the path, Megha-saccha. Now, Megha-saccha is actually the path to extinction, but taking it that this is not knowing that this is the path to extinction. Not only that, one takes it in another way, that this is the path leading to the death, leading to death of everything, extinction, leading to the extinction of everything, pleasures and things like that, the great death. So knowing it in the opposite way. In this way, one takes these two wrong views, not knowing the truth and knowing in the wrong way in respect of the Four Noble Truths, such as the object of avijjāsava. The example given is when one is suffering from cataract, one does not see things truly in the real thing as it is. Such is not knowing the truth. In a simple manner, is apatipatti avijja, the first one. And not only that, this because one has cataract, not only that one is not knowing the truth, one may be knowing wrongly. Wrongly in respect of the truth. Such is the second one, namely, mecha apatipatti avijja, knowing wrongly, or misunderstanding, misconception. So when we discuss these three kangas, asavas, let us say how this thing happens, how these things ooze out, kangas happen. Regarding the visible object, when you are seeing this visible object with eye or eye sensitivity, because if you are not noting at the very moment, without mindfulness, you are said to be heedless or negligent, pamada. So that at the very moment of seeing, you are not knowing the truth of suffering, dukkha-saccha. In this case, the truth of suffering is mind and body, nama-rupa. That is, you are not knowing the existence of eye sensitivity, that is seeing it, as dukkha-saccha, this is material truth of suffering, rupa dukkha-saccha, which is And also, you are not knowing the visible object. You are not noting and knowing the visible object, which is another rupa dukkha saccha. And because you are seeing it, there's a seeing consciousness, you are also not aware of the seeing consciousness, which is nama dukkha saccha, mental truth of suffering. And which are combined, which come along together with the other nama mentalities, such as contact and feeling, which are also nama dukkha saccha, mental truth of suffering. In this way, you are not knowing the truth of mind and body. If you are vigilant, diligent, and heedful, you are able to concentrate your mind and know the realities. Now you are not mindful, you cannot deepen your concentration so that you don't know the realities. So at the very moment of seeing, you are not knowing the truth of this rupa dukkha saccha and nama dukkha saccha. That is the truth of suffering of mind and body. Not only that, you are not knowing the truth, you are knowing in a wrong way. That such seeing is pleasurable and it is good, enjoyable. In this way, you hold the view of opposite view. In this way, you are overcome by two kinds of ignorance, not knowing the truth, knowing in the wrong way. From where does it come? It comes from the act of seeing. And at the moment of seeing, these two kinds of ignorance, not knowing the truth, knowing the wrong way, are said to be oozing out as kankas. And on which object? On the visible object. It is oozing out. It is, the kankas are happening. As the visible object is pleasurable, something to be attached, and something to be desired. So if not knowing the truth, you are bound to become attached. That is the maxim of Satipatthana. And in this case, you are attached to the visible object, or the object of sense desire, or sense. And this happens when you are seeing. And also at the moment of seeing, you have the notion of self or soul, that it is I. I am seeing it. I am seeing, actually you are seeing the mind-body, or the mind-body is seeing the mind-body, but you are not knowing the truth. So because you are deluded, your vision is not clear-cut, you hold the view that it is I who's seeing it, and one who is seeing is I. In this way, you hold the view of atta, self or soul, or jiva, atta, individual self or soul. So in this way, this kind of view is said to be oozing out like a canker. Such as avijasava. In this way, three kinds of asava, cankers, are oozing out. Avijasava, kamasava, and dejasava. In brief, in essence, they are avijja, ignorance, which in essence is moha, delusion, and kamasava in essence is lobha, greed, and detasava in essence is dekshi, view, or wrong view. These things, these kankas ooze out at the moment of seeing. And in this way, you are said to be happening, committing, or so they're coming into possession of kankas in respect of eye sensitivity, visible object. And in this way, these three things of ignorance, attachment, lobha, greed, and view, three things, avijjatana, ditti, are said to be oozing out like kankas. Just as when you are seeing, you come across, you encounter a desirable object, something which will arouse your attachment, because you are not being mindful vigilantly. As the saying goes, unknowing, one becomes attached. That means if you're not mindful, one becomes attached. That is greed, you become greedy. And so too, as regards undesirable objects, objects which will not arouse any desire in you, ill will happen. In this way, two kinds of ignorance, knowing the truth, knowing the wrong way, will happen, such as avijja sava, kanka of ignorance. This kanka of ignorance occurs every time you commit anything unwholesome, akusalas. At times you are seeing just ordinary things in a neutral way, neutral object, and if you are not doing anything or reacting anything or as regards this neutral object, that means neither attachment nor detachment, neither hatred nor desire, which is neutral, then as regards the neutral object, there will be the delusion, you become deluded. Your vision is not clear cut. In this way, you are not seeing the true nature of the visible object, which should be very obvious. Such is avijja sava, the canker of ignorance. So this canker in respect of the visible object, oozing on the, as regards the visible object, such is pamada, negligence, because one is not mindful diligently. If you are mindful, abhamada, needful, diligent, vigilant, you note as soon as object arises, or at least you are prepared to note as the object arises. You are wakeful, active, vigilant. And as soon as object rises, as soon as you see, that is mindfulness at once, presently. That means the mindfulness or the noting mind takes the priority, occupy your mind so that you are knowing the true nature of things when at the moment of seeing, whatever is obvious at the moment of seeing, because mindfulness has taken the priority. That is the power of, as a result, the power of apamada. So that it will check the flow of these kankas, kanka of avijja, kanka of ignorance, kanka of greed, kanka of wrong views. So you are checking the flow, or stopping the flow of these kankas, with the practice of mindfulness. Such is the result of apamada.
Pay
attention. This kilesas, asavas, or kankas will not have a chance to arise in your stream of consciousness. Your mind is said to be protected according to the quality of the manifestation of mindfulness, arika pachipatana. So that because you are protected with sati, being heedful or diligent or vigilant, abhamara, you are blocking the path to, blocking the flow of these kankas. Avarana is blocking it, prohibiting, preventing. So if they are prevented, then there will be security. If there is security, then you will be free, vimukti, liberated from bondage, and then you will not be affected by these kankas, namely greed, ignorance and delusion, so that the flow will be stopped or checked momentarily as you are noting at the very moment of seeing. There will be no kankas oozing out because your mind is protected. There will be no asava. If you note as soon as the object rises with the vigilant mindfulness, abhamara, then since the mindfulness takes a priority on the visible object, as much as this mindfulness takes a priority, these asavas, kankas, will not have a chance to arise. And by not being given a chance to arise, they are said to be checked. The flow is checked. Said to be checked. Because mindfulness is taking the priority. so that the flow of Gangas will be stopped. And in this way, his mindfulness has the power of checking the flow of these defilements. This can be verified by the practicing yogis, devoted yogis, if they are practicing respectfully and continuously. This subject will be continued tomorrow.